Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and today I have a great guest. His name is Gary, and Gary has been doing dowsing for 35 years. He is a dowsing instructor, speaker, writer, inventor, workshop leader, tour guide, and earth energy research. He's also been an intuitive channeler and reader for 25 years. So, Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. Now, Gary, I gave that really good introduction because you got a lot of credentials behind you. But let's talk a little bit about what Well, first, how about this? First, explain to people what dowsing really is, because there's a lot of misconceptions about that. And then we'll talk a little bit more about you.
Yeah, various people define dowsing different ways, but my personal definition is that dowsing may be defined as the communication of subtle energies and information perceived by one's extended senses and natural intuition with the focused rational mind through the use of a device and or learned response. And information received in this manner is of a holographic nature, not limited by time or space or the acknowledged physical laws of the universe. So that's a bit of a mouthful, but it's basically using various tools to access your intuition, your higher knowing self.
Gary, do you think everybody has natural intuition?
I have never met anybody who doesn't have it, let's put it that way. 99% of people who can can naturally douse. I've only discovered a very small percentage of people who, for some reason, have a lock that they can't go outside of reality or a disbelief system or a religious belief system that prevents them from accessing their intuition in a full way. Otherwise, those people who participate openly and entertain the possibility for new avenues of communication can get it most easily.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people out there, Gary, who listen to the show are thinking, well, dowsing, that's just for water and things like that, and you use a twig to do that. But that's not really what all dowsing is just about, is it?
Well, it originally started thousands of years ago. In fact, it's in the Bible, and there are Egyptian hieroglyphs and even cave paintings, I think, that show different types of dowsing. But no, it's been around for a very long time, and basically dowsing pretty much got started in America by the 1800s or so, just simply a man with a willow stick looking for a place to put a water well for a farm. That since then, it's expanded greatly into the American Society of Dowsers, which has about 6,000 members based in Vermont. And now dowsing is used for everything from determining stock values, missing persons. I use it for clearing homes of noxious energies, dowsing for vitamins, just almost anything you can imagine can be accessed and applied to and benefit from dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
It's dowsing is also referred to as divining. And divining simply means you're in contact with the higher energies of God or higher information source. Sorry,
okay,
go ahead.
Now there are different types of dowsing instruments that a person can use. Can you maybe explain what they are and, you know, kind of maybe give a little description of what they might look like?
Yeah, one of the most popular tools is a pendulum, okay, which is simply a string with a weight on the end. In fact, that's how I started learning about dowsing myself when I was 14 years old. A friend showed me a game called Swami Knows All, which had a nylon fish string and a fish weight, and I was getting amazing answers. So I haven't been the same since. But in addition to that, and pendulum, by the movement of pendulum, we have L rods, which are shaped in the form of an L, and have a handle with a loose handle so it can, the rods can turn. You have a bobber, which bounces up and down, pretty much like a horizontal pendulum. And then there's also what you call the traditional wire rod, which is simply a forked stick. And modern ones now are made out of nylon. And there are a number of other tools that people have fashioned called aura meters and wands, or just a number of different things. But it's all based upon just as an indicator, like the dial on a meter, and basically with how they work.
Now, you've also, you know, put that you're an inventor. Can you maybe explain a little bit about some of the things that you have invented?
Most of my inventions relate to things that I've actually located through dowsing. And these are various tools that emulate the natural energies found in nature. And they incorporate some of the forces of orbital energy, the dynamics of Emoto water and hydrodynamics and psychology, just a number of sacred geometry. All these things exist in nature, and I've been able to invent machines that you can use in your home that focus and concentrate these energies for healing and with great success. So I'm also working on communication tools, and I've been shown through a lot of research and experiments that the natural ley lines and fault lines of the earth can be used for mind-to-mind communication, and that the cell phones that we use today are pretty much like training wheels to what I believe they used in the past. And this is why you have sacred sites such as Stonehenge and Egypt and Avebury and so forth, which I believe they access and utilize these to communicate and heal. So the whole research has been to have various devices that emulate and that we can improve upon these things.
You also take people to sacred sites around the world. When you've taken them there, what has been your most, let's say, exciting place and why?
Well, one of the most exciting places was Stonehenge, I think, because it's so magical. You have so many forces coming together and ley lines, underground water, and just the rocks themselves are very impressive. And all the rocks have imprinted all these wonderful energies, pretty much like a tape recorder has information imprinted on it. So people have had experiences in there where they've actually heard priests and monks singing and a lot of information. And so it's very special. And one of the things that we all experience, too, when as soon as you're in there, the combination of all these energies gives the illusion that all the stones are beginning to dance around you. And it's quite unusual. And I've had very similar experiences in Yucatan at various Mayan sites, Egypt, underground tunnels and burial sites. So it's pretty much all these energies are pretty much prevalent, and they can be located by dowsing and your intuition.
When it comes to the Southwest, because that's basically where you live, Gary, what places in the Southwest do you think have the most magical energy with it?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for most people would be the Four Corners area, where you have a lot of Anasazi sites, and you have Chaco Canyon and Mesa Verde, a number of places. And the reason for this is that the energies are very, very high, very pure, high frequency there. And anything that you construct in line with sacred geometry is just going to increase this energy, amplify it. So it can be used for ceremony, for communication, for divining, for the curandero, the shamans to work with. And there are, you know, common Canyon de Chelly and just a number of places. In fact, I did some map dowsing work and see that Sedona and all the different places are interconnected on a huge, what they call a golden triangle that goes between Arizona and New Mexico. And all these sites are connected through very large energy lines of communication. And there's actually a lot of energy flows that are moving through this that can be used for healing if one knows how to utilize them. So there's a lot going on. Also, there's the Belen Mesa, which is near where I live. And even though things may appear on the surface to be not a whole lot happening, when you start dowsing, you realize that a lot of really neat stuff is going on. We only really perceive about 4% of the universe through our five senses. Dowsing opened that up and expands out to about 15-20% or more. So you're opening up to the whole universe, which was pretty exciting to a lot of people.
Now, I'm on the Mesa, Gary, because I went there with you, and I found it very interesting. Lots of energy there. When you were first looking, I mean, did you go there looking for the energy, or were you looking there for a different reason?
No, I think what originally happened was that when I was in California, I was just, someone had mentioned that there was a spiritual community developing on this area, and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I got my AAA map out and did some dowsing and found out it has some of the highest energies that I've ever experienced. And these energies were connected to Egypt and other sacred sites. So it appeared to be a genuine hub of energies. And finding various sacred sites, Anasazi villages and things of nature has really verified this, in addition to a lot of UFO activity.
Let's talk a little bit about the UFO, Gary, because a lot of people sit and go, no, it's impossible. It's just a big tale. It's something for people to talk about. But I believe, as you do, that that's not true, that there are many different types and many different UFO-type sightings being seen all over the world that people aren't really told about. In the Mesa, we'll talk about the Belen Mesa because it's pretty active. I mean, I haven't got to see anything yet because I haven't been here long enough, but I'm planning on it. But anyway, on the Belen Mesa, there's a mountain there, and I told you when I was there I had all this energy that I needed to go to that mountain. And you looked at me kind of funny and said, today? But it wasn't for today. But that mountain has a lot of things going on. And can you maybe give us the name of the mountain and then talk a little bit about the energy that comes with that mountain?
Yeah, the peak is called Ladrone Peak, and seems to be sort of a complementary energy to the Belen Mesa itself. And it's over 9,000 feet. And I think because of this, there's a lot of UFO activity taking place. There's a tremendous amount of quartz crystals at the base of this mountain. And there's a lot of reports of ETs living there. I have personally been out on the Mesa and seen a lot of physical UFOs, very, very bright lights moving across the sky. Another advantage of dowsing is that you can detect UFOs that are not visible, and the vast majority of them are not visible because they have a cloaking device or they exist at a higher dimensional frequency. And through dowsing, they're quite easy to locate, and they have sort of an electrical sensation to them. So, and some of them are not too friendly, and some of them are certainly beneficial and would like to work with us to help with the Earth transition. So they're just like the human race, where there's just some that are great, some that are not so great. So you have to be a little bit discerning, and that's where dowsing comes in as well.
And there's also crop circles that you talk about, because I went to one of your lectures, and it was very interesting, and you talked about crop circles. Do you think, Gary, that the crop circles that pop up overnight are very real, or do you think, you know, because they try to debunk everything, but they try to show how these guys, you know, took their boards and they made these crop circles, but I have a hard time believing that two people or three people could actually do that. So for the crop circles, because there's many sightings at different locations, what is the biggest one and that you know of, and can you maybe describe a little bit of maybe how it looks?
How it works? Well, crop circles are certainly not a really modern-day phenomenon. They've existed back to the 1300s and before, but most recently, since 1980 on, they've become much more complex. I've been back to southern England twice to visit the crop circles, and they are quite impressive energies, and they are certainly douse a lot of higher frequency movement of energies through that, and some can be very, very healing, some can be disorienting. And obviously it's not possible for Doug and Dave types to go through and fake all of these. I think right now there's a total of like 60 or 70 crop circles that are in the world so far this year. And the vast majority of them, about 56 or 57 of them, are in southern England, mainly because of the chalk earth energy there and the closeness, all the stone circles and all the sacred circles that add to the energy and make it much easier to create that. And they're a very real phenomenon. I believe that they are obviously created by a force beyond this planet, because the technologies are, to do this are certainly phenomenal. And their messages to sort of guide us to what's going on, what information is, and they also imprint the Earth grid system with a lot of messages that if we don't get it consciously, we get it unconsciously. So there's a lot going on, and it could be a huge benefit to us, and some people feel it's the Arcturians, but it's some alien race that prefers to sit in the background and sort of help us as we get closer to 2012.
Why is 2012 such a big deal, Gary?
Well, because that's an end of a 26,000-year cycle in the Mayan calendar, and it's the end of a paradigm, and it's a beginning of a grand new cycle. And this is 2012 is the alignment of the Earth with the great central sun in the center of our galaxy. And so this is predicted by the Mayans and the Mayan calendar thousands of years ago. And the importance is that it's the breakdown of the old system, the power, the money, the greed, and so forth, and allowing space, allowing the creation for something new. The key here is for people to consciously be aware of this opportunity and to collectively come together and put forth what they like to see, what they would like to experience in the new beginning. So this is going to be a big test. You know, are we stuck in the old, or are we open enough and brave enough to, you know, step into the future and create something new outside of the old system? And this is where the battle is, and it's a bit of a challenge for a lot of people. But if you open yourself up and use Taoism as a guide, you can certainly be beneficial to this big transformation taking place. The Earth is going through a dimensional shift as well.
So different kinds of energies coming from all directions, basically.
Yes.
Gary, would you give out your phone number so people can get a hold of you in case they have any questions or they may want you to do some dowsing for them?
Sure. It's 505-565-1784. And I do professional dowsing consulting. Mainly for water well and house clearing of death and well energies. One of the important things I do, because it seems like half the homes in Albuquerque have dead Indians in them, or, you know, discarnate Anasazi. And so they could cause a real damper on the energies of a person's home or business. So.
Now, Gary, do you have to go to the person's home, or do you do all of this remotely?
Most often, to do a complete balancing and clearing of a person's home, I usually go there physically. However, there have been some cases where, just the other day, I cleared an office space in Connecticut over the phone using a different process. So it really depends on the technique and the situation. If a person wants to completely neutralize any noxious energy lines caused by underground faults or underground water, electromagnetic radiation, radon gas, and just a whole variety of things, then I usually come to the house and take measurements and then make the corrections on that. But by far the biggest thing that can dampen a place's energy is a discarnate spirit who is not very happy, because this affects everything.
You also have an email address, Gary. Would you like to give that out too, please?
Sure. It's Dowser Gary. DowserGary at Comcast.net.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about, well, that beep meant there's a phone call coming in, so let's find out if this caller has a question. Hello, caller? Are you there? Anybody there? No? Okay. They may have hung up. That's okay. Now, Gary, let's go back a little bit, because you actually used to work at NASA. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you did with NASA?
Well, at NASA, I was a, they call it a senior systems electrical engineer that worked with the life sciences flight experiments on board the space shuttle, which eventually evolved to the space station. And I was in charge of all the life sciences experimental systems and data production on everything from rhesus monkeys all the way down to flap tails and amoeba, jellyfish, hornets, mice, rats, you know, just plants. So a wide variety of, just to see how it interacts in outer space. I really enjoyed the work. And at times I became a closet dowser, so to speak, to solve a lot of problems, and got a lot of awards out of that. So dowsing could be applied almost anywhere. Of course, I didn't really mention this to anybody, but it was quite successful.
I would imagine. Now, Gary, you also do workshops, so do you have any workshops planned?
I have one coming up this fall. It'll be called Divining the Divine. And it combines spirituality and dowsing. And I believe that dowsing or divining is a spiritual practice. And the more you realize that, that it's in your attitude and your consciousness rather than the tools, you'll be much, much more successful and be open to the information from the universe. So this will be coming out, and then a lot of the principles used in dowsing are very similar to that which you find in the concepts of Ernest Holmes and the Science of Mind, where you're able to partnership or co-create with the universe and be in touch via your intuition through this vast resource of information.
And you're also president of a chapter here in Las Lunas. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have a great chapter now. I think we're one of the only active chapters in New Mexico right now. And we have about 125 members, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. We have a wonderful variety of presenters and speakers, everything from healing to sound healing to acupuncture, UFOs. I mean, just become a nice new thought forum, so to speak. And, of course, we use dowsing classes and workshops to teach people to access their these abilities. And even children are, especially children, I should say, are certainly able to use this talent in their lives. They're very open and very intuitive, and they can often teach us a lot of things.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about children, so you must be pretty psychic there, Gary, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, I love working with children because they're just so open and receptive. They don't have any do's and don'ts established so far, and it's just really a delight to work with them.
Now, you also, I know you have invented a few things, but you invented, I call it the healing machine. Is there a name for the one that you have in your home?
Oh, the yeah, it's a far infrared photon projector, and it essentially takes the same energy you'd find for Reiki healing and Earth energy, such as vortexes you find in Sedona and so forth, and it takes this frequency and broadcasts it through the human body, and it accesses the cells and really removes blockages and works for the entire system, not just physical, but also all your energy bodies. And releases it and balances things. And it has a wonderful tendency to open up all the chakras. It's a pretty powerful tool. We're still learning about it.
It was kind of neat. I got a chance to use it, actually, and it was so neat because, you know, as I laid there, because you lay on a table and you have the machine by your head and then on the wall are mirrors, and it felt like I was laying on one of those blow-up rubber rafts, just like in a very little wave of water, and it just kind of kept going through me and going through me, and it felt really, really good. And then just before the session was over, like all these colors, You know, I remember telling him, man, Gary, you should see these cars because they were just so great. I mean, I got the Kelly greens and the bright blues and the purples. I mean, just colors galore. I thought, man, that's really neat. So do when people come to you, Gary, for that treatment, do a lot of them experience colors or do they tell you what they have experienced?
Everybody experiences something a little different, but everybody has some warmth and tingling, and they do feel like they're floating on a cloud of energy because they are part of a, they call a resonant cylinder of energy that of different frequencies and rhythms that are going through the body. But many people have actually experienced release of any childhood trauma or even past life trauma that's been stuck in your energy field and different chakras. So it can benefit all of your energy bodies, which eventually affect your physical body over time. And curious on the physical level, we've had a lot of people with backaches and things like that removed quite easily because it goes in and just causes things to break up as far as any congestion. And it's very similar to Chinese medicine in the sense that you're getting the qi flowing again, and qi and the blood flowing again will bring in a natural form of healing.
Now, can anybody, like any age, use the treatment, Gary, or is it limited to certain ages?
Yeah, I've used it on dogs and people with pacemakers and just about anything. It's much different than a life machine, and it uses light that passes through your body rather than using radio waves. And a person can get a similar treatment by simply going out to nature and locating or dowsing a sacred site that contains what we call photon energy. And since we've entered the photon belt years ago, there are different locations like vortexes around the planet in which this is coming to the surface. And these are like huge columns of energy that are very, very life-enhancing and very beneficial, neutralizing pollution and imbalance and so forth. And a person can really benefit from this. But if you don't want to go out to the mountain somewhere and douse for such a location, then you can experience the same thing using a tool such as this machine.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard you briefly say, yeah, you use it on dogs, so it can actually be used on animals also.
It can be used almost anything. This is the older dog who could barely walk because of arthritis, and afterwards he would jump around like a puppy. It's just always the power of infrared energy to get in there and loosen things up.
That's kind of amazing. And I would think it would really help arthritis then a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
Now, you have another thing that's quite unique, Gary, and it's called a crystal skull. And can you talk about the crystal skull a little bit, maybe a little bit of the history of the crystal skulls as to why they seem to be so important? And then maybe tell us a little bit about the one that you have.
Well, there are 13 crystal skulls in the world right now that are sort of interconnected. And it appears that they were physically fabricated in early stages of Atlantis and imbued with energy from the star system Sirius, or the beings, the light beings that were there. And with the demise of Atlantis, they were transferred over to Central and South America, such as Guatemala, Belize, and Mexico. And the curanderos, or shamans, there have worked with them for some time. And they're wonderful oracles, and I believe that they were sent here pretty much to monitor, act as a resource, and balance humanity, and to act as a healing tool as well. I think they're a terrific resource. And the crystal that I have is pretty much in resonance with one of the crystals called Max. And anything you have in resonance with something else, you can use as a communicating tool. So through the indirectly, people can communicate through the skulls or through other crystals that you would find in Brazil or at the Great Pyramid or other places. Through the power of resonance and intention, you can connect to these energy. And again, this is related to that huge ley line-based communication system that we have all around the planet. So people become aware of this we could utilize it. They had this in Atlantis, but it was lost. But I think it's slowly coming back. Crystals can be used for healing, for communication, for resonance, for just a number of things. So, you know, this potential is wide open right now. We're still learning.
I think it's real important to continue to learn because, I know that the crystals have lots and lots of energies depending on what crystal it is. Now, let's talk a little bit, Gary, about yourself again. When you were working at NASA, did you get to meet some of the astronauts?
Yeah, so I actually flew on an airplane with them. So I worked directly with the crew to make sure that they had proper familiarity with the operating of different experiment hardware and procedurals and so forth and verification procedures. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. They're a very, very intelligent, very happy group of young people. And I guess one of the greatest thrills was, of course, the launch they mentioned and just the opportunity of being in outer space. So it was quite thrilling to hear their conversations and feedback and all the experiences they went through on that. So, and now we're doing all this internationally on the space station. So it's become an international cooperation, which is very, very beneficial.
I would think so. While you were with them, Gary, did any of them talk about anything about UFOs, or are they not allowed to do that?
Well, I think they've captured a lot of communications and videos that NASA has picked up or tried to censor from different missions. It seems like every mission, especially on the Apollo, where they went to the moon, it was seen that UFOs were showing up. And Edgar Mitchell actually did some experiments on ESP from outer space, and according to the data, it worked so well that he actually started an organization when he got back. So there's a lot going on. A lot of people are watching us, and they're a little concerned about us getting to outer space, considering that we're a rather violent civilization. And there's concern that this doesn't propagate into the universe. But we're evolving. We're learning. So I think when we get to the point where we're going to be going to Mars and so forth, we'll have a much more mature attitude and demeanor when we do.
Gary, why do you think our government has such a hard time admitting that there are UFOs out there, or they have to constantly, again, debunk sightings or when people are talking about it?
Well, it's interesting because I'm noticing recently that most of the countries around the world now are releasing all their UFO files, and it's an amazing revolution, especially Brazil and Mexico and places like that. And Stephen Greer has been working on disclosure for quite some time in the United States, and I think it's all based upon fear and power and control of the media, or control of the masses, so to speak, on this. So, and also they're probably worried about some sort of form of technology getting out to the public and the impact on religious beliefs and so forth. But I think people are essentially mature enough to the point where they can begin to accept this and understand it and appreciate it and know that it's ridiculous to think that we're the only life form in the universe that has any intelligence. Quite conversely, we're one of the lowest, lower life forms in the universe right now, and I think that's probably what makes us so dangerous. So I think as soon as we get disclosure, we're going to have a quantum leap in consciousness and acceptance about who we are, and it's going to decrease the infighting between the human race and get to the point where we can actually start to interrelax and intercommunicate with being from other places and start learning about them. And so, again, this is a threat to control and power, but hopefully people would begin to start thinking for themselves and not believe everything that's told them.
That would probably be a good thing, not to believe everything that's told to them. Gary, have you ever, now I know you said a little bit earlier that you've seen UFOs yourself. Have you ever been in contact with them or maybe been abducted?
I don't believe I've been abducted, but I've certainly been in contact with them. One of the most common forms of communication in the universe is through mental telepathy. And the nice thing about that is the fact that you don't have any language barriers. I mean, thoughts are thoughts. And you don't have to worry about talking to a betazoid or whoever it happens to be. So, and yeah, I've seen many, many UFOs. Again, a lot of them are cloaked or sort of what you might call a prime directive to not interfere with the human race and the revolution. But a lot of interaction is taking place. Stephen Greer has actually had close encounters with ships and interacted, and he's written all about these things in his books. So it is possible, but I think it's something now that's done in small groups that are pretty much focused with a positive intent and have a different attitude about UFOs, that they're not just physical anomalies, but they're actually living conscious beings that can communicate to us if we're certainly open and receptive to that.
Do you know anything about the crash that supposedly happened at Roswell?
Yeah, I've had, I know the head of MUFON down there and other people have done some research, and it's, I've even talked to Nathan Twining Jr., who stated that his father on his deathbed told him that the ET that they had captured alive actually talked to him mentally. So there's so much evidence right now that it did occur. It's pretty much not hard not to believe it. And I think as time goes by, the evidence is overwhelming, and the Air Force has not come up with any intelligent explanation for the crash. And there are just too many people with stories of artifacts and mysterious things that to believe that it didn't happen. So I think over time we're going to see a disclosure of this just because there's too much evidence for it not to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Gary, that there's any connection between the ETs and the Sasquatch or the Bigfoot?
ETs and what?
Like the ETs and the Bigfoot.
I don't really think so. I believe Bigfoot is sort of a, you might call it, a missing link between humans and apes, and some people believe that he's interdimensional, is able to appear and disappear, and some people believe that he's actually a result of some early stages of experimentation by ET colonizers who actually were able to create human beings. And I pretty much believe this is what actually took place, that we didn't just naturally evolve from apes, but there was a lot of what you call bioenergetic and genetic experimentation, cloning and so forth, that was able to develop the human. And this was originally for enslavement and to be used as a benefit, and we're still enslaved to some aspects. So, again, we'll wake up and become free of this. But, no, I don't think Bigfoot is directly connected to UFOs, but in the sense that he may be interdimensional, perhaps yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's give out your phone number and your email address again so people can get a hold of Gary, please.
Okay. It's 505-565-1784. And the email is DowserGary, DowserGary, at Comcast.net.
Okay. There's going to be a big convention in October. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
I think you're referring to the Southwest Dowsing Conference. And That's very exciting because there's everything. There's about 400 people who attend, and about thousands. That happens every odd year. Everything from water to mind training to sacred geometry, healing, and all different types of dowsing. So it's sort of a conclave of all sorts of practitioners and people who've experienced different things through dowsing and how it's enhanced their life. And many people have developed what you might call a niche in which their expertise in looking for oil or working with holographic universe and just many, many different things. So it's pretty exciting, and I recommend that everybody attend it if you get the opportunity.
I actually put the information up on the website, so if anybody is listening,
thank you.
If you go, yeah, you're very welcome. If you go to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More, you'll see it listed there for this whole week, and it does tell you how to get the tickets and tells you a little bit about them, you know, so you might want to take a good look at that. Now, Gary, you talk about how all the different people come there, and you talked about, you know, the healing. The dowsing thing, is it more based upon people learning how to, you know, collect energy or understand energy better, or is it better stated as a way to maybe heal?
Make you feel? Is that what you said?
I didn't hear. Or way so people can learn how to, you know, like do different forms of healing.
Well, I think the conference itself is more, it's they have one entire day, which is simply based on class teaching basic dowsing and advanced dowsing and different modalities. And so I usually teach through this, and you spend an entire day going through all different tools, all different situations out in the field and in the classroom to get people familiar with these tools. And then they can start applying it to just a variety of different things. We have labyrinths and a lot of sacred geometry going on. But I think dowsing is something that can both be applied metaphysically and to the practical everyday world. For example, where did I leave my car keys? To everything, you know, what spiritual class should I take that will help me the best at the present time? So it's very, very broad, and all the people that are present at the conference have different degrees of sections of expertise and are to share about them, all the way from brainwave research to the Merkaba consciousness, vibrational healing, you name it, nutrition, and even ecology. So it's very, very broad, but it's basically a learned tool that can be applied to really enrich everyone's life, no matter what they're involved in.
Gary, what is the importance of sacred geometry? A lot of people, I don't even know if they know about it. I mean, I took courses on it to study about it, but what is the importance of knowing sacred geometry?
Well, sacred geometry is based upon the Metatron's cube, which all the platonic solids have been derived from, which is essentially the basis of creation of the universe, so to speak. And what this means is that when you have certain configurations of geometry, they're life-enhancing. If you have things that are not within that boundary or sort of random, then they are generally not life-enhancing. And I think this was most wonderfully demonstrated by Dr. Emoto, who worked with water crystallization shapes and consciousness. When there was love and peace and things visualized, the water took on beautiful six-pointed stars of beautiful ice forms. And when you had other things such as negative thoughts or acid rock or different things, it became totally morphed into sort of a blob. So essentially you can understand that a healthy life in our existence on Earth is everything is based upon sacred geometry and the relationships And if you go down to the smallest level, down to the atoms of molecules, you'll see there's sort of a foundation of our very existence. The Earth itself is based on a network of sacred geometry and energy flows that support everything. And so this is how our consciousness affects the Earth and everything on it, and how it affects healing. So if you can imagine like a little bubble platform above a cartoon character, if you have something of a positive thought and so forth, this is very, very healing and beneficial, and gets propagated throughout the environment and the Earth. If it's something that's negative, then it becomes destructive, and it is non-beneficial. So essentially sacred geometry, which is expressed very wonderfully in all the crop circles, is very, very important to consciousness and health and this self-realization of where we are in the universe.
One of my friends did an experiment when you're talking about the energy of word and thought, and he actually was using a dowsing rod to do it. And what he did, he'd ask the crowd of people. He had one person come up and turn their back to the crowd, and then he was like in front of the person so that the person who had their back to the crowd could not see him. And he held up signs, you know, saying what he wanted the people who were in the audience to think or to feel. And, you know, the signs were pretty much like what, you know, was done with the water. You know, like he would hold up a sign that said love.
Right.
And then he would douse the person as he told them to do this thought. And, you know, the douser, and I don't remember which one he used, would show really positive stuff. And then he would, you know, tell them to, you know, relax a moment and give them about 10 seconds. And he'd hold up another sign, and the sign may say hate, and, you know, to concentrate on that for a few moments. And as the people did, he would douse the person again, and he saw that it would go very negative. So energy, as far as thought or, you know, any form of energy, I think is pretty important for people to understand that what they're given out is going to affect everything, just maybe what that person is feeling at the moment. So I think it's real important that people keep that in mind and know that, you know, sending out a bunch of negative stuff, you know, it's only going to create more negative. And as hard as it is at the moment to send out positive, they're much, much better off to do that.
Well, very much so. A part of this relates to what I call detrimental energies, and people who have consistently negative thoughts or low vibrations will attract what we call entities, which essentially, again, discarnate beings who either are here because of anger, depression, or just plain confusion. And they get attracted to people of a lower vibration and can actually cause health problems and confusion and feelings. And then we also have implants, which are implanted there, but sort of energy matrices that are implanted in people's energy fields for gathered information and some degree of mental control. So these are two things to be very, very much aware of. And again, this can be determined through dowsing and can be remedied through a very simple clearing process. And very, very important, because I feel a lot of our mass killings and problems are because people become overloaded with these detrimental energies to the point where they can no longer function, and they are simply acting out of the expressions of these negative emotions and thoughts.
There was an article that I read about a doctor, I don't remember his name, who was going to use different techniques in a mental institute to help release, you know, just what basically the entities, anxieties, anything and everything that he could in order to help these people actually, you know, become a little bit better as far as their behaviors went. And he didn't have to be there. He did it remotely. And what he did is that the hospital, I'm assuming, gave him kind of a case study on everybody, and he studied it, and then, you know, he used whatever method he used to clear out those entities and you know, all of the negative influence that had been, you know, kind of pounded into them from childhood. And out of all of the people that he did that to, there was like 90, I think 92% or something like that, that actually turned and their life became almost like a whole person again. You know, and so the dowsing, Gary, I think you're talking about, could help people also overcome some of their emotional tendencies, no matter how bad they are. Is that maybe true?
Oh, very much so. I've worked with people who have been on Prozac and different things for mood elevation, and who have been totally, you know, depressed and not able to function. And by one good example was my niece, who had a lot of problems with this, being a very, very sensitive individual. And by simply clearing these entities and using different forms of protection, such as essential oils, was able to keep any negative vibrations or entities from her picking them up. And over time, she was completely free of all medication, free of all counseling, and all detrimental energies. And the thing is, your body tends to build up an immune system, in the sense that if you think positive thoughts and you get released of anything that's holding you back, and you hold on to the positive, then you create a vibration in which things are no longer attracted to you. And so it's sort of a cumulative effect that over time you can learn this way of being positive, energized. Good examples are Al Gore and Oprah and people like that, who mainly people who are in service and help others, are perfectly clear of all detrimental energies, just because they're just very, very kind-hearted. So this can be sort of an indirect way of determining that person's character. If they're an alcoholic or a drug addict or something of that nature, then you're going to see them having a lot of these entities. And interestingly enough, a lot of politicians have a lot of these entities. It was very interesting, dowsing last year's election candidates.
I would imagine. I would imagine that would be true. Gary, can you give out your phone number and your email address again, please?
Yeah, the phone is 505-565-1784, and the email is dowsergary, dowsergary, @comcast.net.
I have a question about kids today, because, you know, that's what I came down here for, Gary, was to open up a school for kids that really don't fit the bell curve or have ADD, ADHD. And do you think working with the students, dousing them, you know, helping them, could help the children that have been given the prescription drugs so easily to maybe release those? I know you said your niece did that, and she was basically an adult. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very complex situation, but dowsing and being aware that if they are containing these things, can be very, very beneficial to them, to sort of take this handicap from them. I believe that a lot of people who are in mental hospitals, for example, are really okay. They're just maybe hypersensitive people. And this is especially important for children, because they are naturally sensitive, especially up to the age of 7.
Yeah, because
it's really can be a very important tool for helping them overcoming these limitations.
See, because everybody knows who's listening to my show that I have a big problem with all of the prescription drugs that they pass out to these kids, because
yes.
I think these kids are so intelligent and they have so much energy coming in that they don't know how to, you know, help themselves, and it creates a non-focus point to them and boredom and all kinds of stuff. And I think by giving them the drugs, it's just a Band-Aid on it, not really getting into the true, you know, the true child itself, which I think is very important for everybody.
Yeah, I think counseling and just paying particular attention to their talents could make a big difference. There's usually not a detriment, but it's usually a gift that's been misdiagnosed. And you take advantage of this gift and allow them to channel it in some direction, such as healing or dowsing or attunement, then stabilize their being. I think a lot of these are essentially beings that have come into an incarnate form who are maybe more of a higher vibrational energy, and they have a hard time adjusting to the denser 3D form of energy that we're all experiencing. There are some of these children, I believe, are kind of the advanced guard, or they're advanced people coming into an environment that's really not quite up to the frequency that they're used to. I think this will evolve over time, but the more we can help them to realize that there's more than the 3D world, such as people who are very gifted and sensitive adults to help them and guide them, then they can be put on a very, very creative and beneficial path.
And then that's what I came down here to do, Gary. Came down here to open my schools now and get all you people who are down here to help
yes.
me do that.
That's very
okay,
important.
Which is
important.
It is, you know, and because you know I use my granddaughter as an example. You know, she's very intelligent, but everybody says she has this focus problem, and I say I think she's bored. You know, and I think if you work with her, give her a little bit more, or give her a little bit more of a challenge, that boredom or that non-focus point will actually, you know, change, and all of a sudden she will be focused. And that's kind of what I based my whole theory of the school of now on. Because
there's a huge generation gap, and they're really talented in their own way, and a lot of adults are just not able to provide them what they need.
You know. No, they're not. There's one other thing here I'd like you to talk about it if you can, and it's called the Magnificent Seven, the group you belong to.
Well, that's basically a group of people that are coming together as a collective to promote and generate a conference, New Thought, Spirituality, UFO conference here in Albuquerque next year. Over the years, there have not been very many conferences having to deal with science and consciousness and UFOs and ecology and so forth. A lot of them have been based in Santa Fe, but we're trying to get something down here in the Albuquerque area. We think there's a big demand for that, and we're trying to attract a lot of named speakers to support that.
Which I'm excited about. And I do have to make this announcement for everybody who's listening. And it is about David Icke. And he has agreed to come to, as you know, we just said, Santa Fe, actually to the Hilton Santa Fe Resort and Spa at the Buffalo Thunder to do a one-day seminar as a help to raise money for my school of now. And everything is on the website. If you want to go check it out, you can go to David Icke's website. It's davidicke.com. You can go to nancypsychicresources.com. You can go to childsmiraclemind.org. It's all over the place. So if anybody's interested in that, you can also give me a call at 630-941-6816. And, Gary, I'd like you to give out your phone number and email address again before we're just about done.
All right. 505-565-1784. And email is dowsergary, dowsergary, at comcast.net.
Okay, and if people want you to help them by dowsing, Gary, and they give you a call, again, you don't have to necessarily be there for that. Is that correct?
Yeah, it really depends on the situation. But, yeah, I'd be happy to talk to anybody, anywhere, and many times you can do things via a map or a diagram.
Okay.
So everything is unique.
Good. And the phone beeps, so let's see. Is there a caller? Hello? Caller? Nope. Might keep hearing this beep. It's probably just me. Who knows? I get all this stuff. You know, Gary, before we go off air, we have like about a minute and a half. I wanted to say, you know, to the listeners, is there a caller there?
Somebody's
Hello?
Persistent.
I think so. Oh, well. When I met you, it was really kind of fun because I went to the dowser meeting and I met people. And then you told me about some of the things you were doing. And so I came over to your house and I laid on the table and did that healing thing. I just want everybody to know that I had gone and tried some of Gary's things and are very important. So, Gary, I'd like to thank you for being on air, giving time and talking about what you do. And I would like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great day. Take care, and we'll talk later. Bye now.
Okay. Thank you very much.